Hello and welcome to Story Pillows, the podcast where we make stories and we break stories. I'm your host, Tommy Antonucci.
And I'm your host, Zach Lovelace.
And this is the show where we have about an hour to improvise a outline for a movie concept that we use scraps and prompts to build. And then we'll summarize it at the end with a line from the movie as well as a title. Are you ready, Zach?
I am ready.
He's so ready. He's so pumped. He's so ready.
I'm so pumped.
he's pumped.
I'm down.
Well, usually we do some small talk. Let's do some big talk and just tell this story, you know?
Yeah.
Zach, do you want to roll a 10-sided die for me?
Yes, I do. Let's take a look. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Rolling. I rolled a 10, a big fat 10.
Perfect 10. Okay. The prompt that you rolled are ghosts are found in an abandoned spaceship.
Oh, interesting.
So we've got like a sci-fi mixed with supernatural.
That's appropriate. Today's Halloween. We're recording on Halloween for those.
Now they all know.
Now they all know that we're in the future. We've already told you before,
we are in the future. This one happens to if you're not at the time we are. I was going to say go check out our Halloween episode Slag. But if you missed Halloween, if you slept through Halloween and you're just waking
somehow,
up
somehow,
go check out Slag.
Yeah, go enjoy Tommy's great thumbnail for Slag. Previous episode.
Yeah, so big old robot in the background. We could roll for genre or a random requirement, but I also feel like ghost on a spaceship.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very specific already, and I don't know if I want to like muddy it up with anything too crazy. So do you want to just try to build off of that?
Ghosts on a spaceship, bro. So you said other people find them?
Yes, I believe. Let me pull it back up. I just got spaceship. Hold on. I already archived it because I'm dumb. Ghosts are found in an abandoned spaceship. So we're thinking
somebody.
Yeah, maybe a distress beacon or something like that goes off. And then very sci-fi-esque. We need a reason, and we need to make it different enough, because we did tell a story of the submarine. What was that one called? Do you remember that?
That one was called the Depths or something like that. I can't remember. We tell a lot of story, folks.
We tell a lot of stories. But you know what I'm talking about. They find an abandoned submarine.
That's true. That had like ghostly skeletons on it and stuff. I have an idea. So I think our spaceship is either completely unmanned or only has one or two people on it. That makes it super easy, obviously, character count. But what they're doing is they're relocating cemeteries to different planets.
Okay.
It's kind of a distinctly human thing to do, is like, okay, you know, we don't want to leave our past. You know, we want to bring our family, even though they're dead.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And so maybe Earth is like a total dump at this point. And I don't know how far into the galactic empire building we are, but clearly far enough to move a whole cemetery. But maybe that's the main guy's job, is just like going back to Earth, grave robbing to some degree, you know, just digging up graves, and then they just have them sectioned off. That's kind of cool.
I think that's interesting. So, because that is very interesting, and it almost feels like that would be a, we're well past the Wall-E-esque of, we have to get off the planet because it's dangerous. This almost seems like well-to-do people are thinking, well, let's go back now. And
yeah,
that
sounds cool.
Does that make sense? It feels like a luxury.
Yeah.
Unless we make a completely fictionalized world where there's an alternate religion that makes it more important. Do you get what I'm saying? Like there's a really important, we have to bring our dead with us, or people are safe. And now there's this whole industry. They're like, yeah, you want your ancestors to be on this planet too?
Yeah.
We can go get them, bring them back. So simple. Yeah. Which could make sense, because it could be these blue collary space guys that have a load of coffins on their ship. And then something spooky starts
happening. We're hauling coffin.
We're all in coffin. I think that's an interesting concept because I think you could introduce that concept pretty quickly. You could do even a voiceover. I don't know. That's kind of done
you
to
could
like,
do like a commercial explain for the it. Like, you yeah. know, within the world, wherever they're at, you could do a commercial for it. And yeah, so I don't know what planet we're on, but or it could be the other way around where there are space explorers. This makes it much more intimate. There are the first generation of space explorers. It didn't work. And so they just lived long lives in their little colony and they all died. Mm-hmm. And then a group of people goes to retrieve their bodies and bring them back. I kind of like that more.
Okay.
A little less world building, a little bit more like, you know, it's not a service kind of thing, but I know that is what we both liked about that initially. The idea that it promised like a bigger world. But that is like, you could get really spooky.
Okay. I think that could work because then you don't have to explore the concept of the Earth being destroyed. This is, the Earth's fine. People are just trying to colonize other planets. We're well past the Martian where the technology is a bit better that in theory it could work. And it did work for a little bit, but didn't work permanently.
Yeah.
They just eventually got sick and died out. And as in, they said, there were 50 people in that colony and we want to honor them and try to bring them back if we can. Mm. So they send a ship to gather the dead and bring them back.
Yeah.
And
it's really an admitting defeat mission, which I kind of like that it's humanity kind of quietly trying to say like, hey, we weren't cut out for the space travel thing or, you know, long-term space. Earth is really nice. Earth is really warm. We like Earth.
Earth is really warm. It is funny just coming outside the story a little bit. I think about that a lot of just the concept of space travel and just trying to live places that are extremely hostile to us. Mm-hmm. I know it can be done and it's been done on Earth, but no one's living in the middle of the ocean at the same time, you know? And then people are thinking, let's go to space. And it's even harder and more dangerous and more, but I get why people are wanting to do that. I also just think it's kind of funny that we're trying so hard to, it's almost like there's a reason we're here on the one planet that has oxygen
and stuff. Yeah, you'd think. No, it's an interesting thing. I know in the past we've mentioned my love of Antarctica, but that's NASA studies the Antarctic expeditions because they've failed a lot leading up. So lots of disaster, lots of cannibalism. Just missing people at this point, but it is replete with good stories in terms of being on the edge, being on the absolute edge. What I like about this is that they just kind of quietly die. Like it's not like there's some accident or maybe at some point they realize that there was more going on, on the colony than there was.
Yeah, I think, and I think we're into this pretty quickly where
I think, you start with them like landing on the planet. The retreat guys.
The guys that are recovering them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking that, or you could do that classic. I kind of like this sometimes where you have a press conference, and I think the creator started with some sort of conference where it's just saying like, 1 week ago, a nuclear bomb went off in Los Angeles. This is not a spoiler because this happens in the first 2 minutes of the movie. But that idea where we're here to report on the status of the colony mission. It has been reported 2 days ago that there was a breach in the hull and everyone died or something like that, where it's this public announcement and reporters like, oh, it's just flashing cameras and stuff like that. And then we kind of cut to black and then we cut to them landing. We don't have to do that, but then if they're landing, we just kind of have to establish like we have to establish a lot through their conversation, you know. But regardless, like that's bit, we'll establish what they're doing quickly. The story starts with them landing, touching down on some planet, which I think could be cool to name the planet something. Pluto.
That's true. Oh yeah, yeah, it's a good name. That's a good name, dude. I was actually looking up Ghosts of Mars, the 2001 movie by John Carpenter, a late John Carpenter entry. It's got Ice Cube in it, you know. It's probably probably not great, but let's see. In 2176, a Martian police unit is sent to pick up a highly dangerous criminal at a remote mining post. Okay, cool. We're not stepping on that movie at all.
Yeah. So let's, I think we maybe have three main dudes, maybe?
Yeah.
It probably would be like bigger. I kind of like having a small crew, like a small space crew, because they're just, it probably would make more sense for there to be like five, but I think three is easy to keep track of.
You could probably have five. You just, you have the other, like you just keep the other ones in like low character status type stuff. And also this really means that space travel is extremely difficult. So you have to deal with this idea of like, why would they go at all?
Mm-hmm.
Like what, you know, other than the humanly kind of thing. And maybe one of the people who went before was a billionaire. Or trillionaire, whatever, if we're that far in the future. And he's like bankrolling the whole thing. He's saying like, hey, you know, I really want my family back.
Or there's a selfish reason that there's some sort of power source or something they were using that they want back. And they dress it up as, oh, we're going to, they're playing the sympathy. They're playing the sympathy card where they are maybe gaining funding or resources, because they're also going to do that. But the real reason is we need to get this power source back. That thing that powers the the colony is not easy to make or come by. We need to get that back.
That's kind of cool. You know?
Because that could also like, add this like volatile, dangerous thing to the spaceship later that they're going to deal with.
I like that. I know in terms of setting up a little bit more world building, what popped in my mind was Children of Men. And so not that the world is like that much of a dump. We're like, there's no more babies. which is cool. But it opens up with Clive Owen, like in a coffee shop or kind of like deli or whatever. And on the TV, it's playing, you know, the world's youngest boy, the last baby to be, have been born was killed in a stabbing because he's like 20 years old or whatever. And it kind of tells you how long it's been going on and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That we could play the announcement type thing like that. And that it's really not, maybe things are that bad on Earth that they just don't care about the people stuck on wherever, Titan, whatever you want to call it. I guess that's Thanos' planet. Things would really suck if you got stuck there. But what is the line from, with Doctor Strange? He's like, this was your planet. You know, he like does the revealing thing. This was your home. So
nice.
I just, again, a little bit more of a, it just changes the angle of it just a little bit, like how much people actually care about the mission. If it's just this one guy, I think if it's just one guy bankrolling it, that actually would make it more believable.
And I think it's also, if it's one guy bankrolling it, then we could get by with a smaller team. Because I think he could get by, like he might be trying to save some money in the sense that we just need, I'll go and I'll bring two capable guys and we'll just, we're just flying through space for most of it. And then I'll have them grab my ancestors or whatever. And then we'll work to get the power source.
That's cool.
I think it keeps a small scrappy unit. And I think it's becoming more about the power source thing than it is about the other stuff, but maybe he they're wanting to do that as well. Or he says, I got additional funding if we bring back some of the dead.
That's cool. Now on I guess we could just make our planet, whatever it's called, kind of like Mars but blue.
I was picturing blue as well. And I'm pivoting the story a little bit in my head because originally I was thinking you're trapped on a spaceship with ghosts, which could be cool. But now that we have this idea of this colony thing, it could be neat if they get to the colony, they repair their, like, hey, I'm going to look into, they spend a few days and they figure out the breach thing or whatever went wrong and they repair it. And then they can like, hit the button and the controls come on and they're like, it's going to be way easier to work in here if we don't have to be in these spacesuits. And they like reseal it, everything like power comes on, everything. And then they're basically trapped with some sort of ghost or zombie thing in the colony.
That's cool.
Do you think that's cooler than them? Because it feels like we're really speeding to get them on back on the ship otherwise. And we're kind of ignoring this cool colony. that could be cool to explore, but
that's true. That's true. I don't know. I kind of like it being in the
put them in a confined space. Yeah.
Yeah. And then something happens, obviously they awaken or whatever.
Yeah.
Or we could turn it on its head and make it funny.
We could, but that's our classic bread and butter. Let's go the direction of they get into space. They don't maybe even spend too long on the colony. Maybe it's destroyed beyond repair. And then you
it's just so run down.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that because it's been on maybe it's been on there for 50 years, maybe even 100 years. Mm-hmm. And for whatever weird reason, and this is where I'm pulling from Children of Men, they weren't able to repopulate, or maybe they were just told not to. Or maybe they tried a couple times. And even, I guess, 100 years, literally, somebody would have replaced somebody, but they just didn't have as many kids. Like, having children on the planet wasn't as easy. Mm-hmm. And then they saw that it really affected the children, which is actually kind of interesting. Thinking of titles now.
I thought there's a book I read that has space travel in it, and there was a point where they left this colony of people on this planet that was clearly not a good planet to live on. Mm. And then it was like some other species was like, oh, yeah, well, for years we got some sort of beacon coming from that planet, and then nothing happened, and eventually the beacon just went out, implying that mm-hmm. there was no one to, like, it was bad and no one was there to come rescue them until they all died out. Which is pretty bleak, but that's like what we're dealing with, is this, although I think the people who would be on this colony are trying to, they're volunteers, you know, they wanted mm-hmm. to try to make this work, and they were all about space travel. The other interesting thing is, I think, I don't know the science behind this, but they kind of talk about this in The Martian. If there is some sort of breach to their thing and there's no oxygen in there, the bodies would be preserved, wouldn't they? They just wouldn't decompose because there's no bacteria in the air or anything, which is interesting too, because we're not dealing with corpses, gross skeletons. They're just looks like they died an hour ago.
Yeah, I imagine they'd have some kind of decomposition internally,
this is assuming there's some atmosphere. Yeah, because if they were just in space, they'd probably explode.
Yeah, it's not space. It's just whatever atmosphere. And yeah, maybe they haven't terraformed it, because we're kind of thinking of like a Martian style.
Yeah. I picture like a big bowl from SpongeBob.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I was picturing the same thing. Squilliam is bankrolling it.
So they gather a few of the key people, maybe all of them. If we say it's a small colony, if it's like a 50 to 100 people, and they're all just kind of, gravity's lighter there, so it's not hard to lift them and put them in a pod. They have this big cargo ship that was made for that. But then the rich guy is like, oh, and then like grabs the power source. I just imagine this like floating blue diamond thing, or this blue orb.
I mean, maybe something that they even got on the planet, like they anticipated getting, you know, tritium from Spider-Man 2. Oh, my precious tritium.
Is that like the thing that powers, that makes his little arc thing, his fireball? Yeah. Tritium. I'm trying to think of a cool name for that, but we can come back to that. Yeah. I want to get them on the ship, because I think that's where most of the story happens. Them landing establishes them. We have the two kind of more blue collary space guys. It's funny calling space guys blue collary, but you know what I mean.
That's so tropic at this point with Alien and a bunch of other franchises that have done that kind of thing.
Yeah. So. And then we have the well-to-do rich guy. I think the easy thing is to make him super unlikable. But I also, with only three people, I'm not trying to make him completely unlikable, you know? He doesn't have to be immediately. He's the worst of the three, clearly.
Or not. Like, nobody's
He's the best
be
of the three,
nobody
clearly.
Bad. Like, somebody, you know, obviously there has to be an antagonist, but out of that group.
Well, the antagonist is going to clearly, the obvious one are these ghosts or something. These ghosts or creatures or whatever, these specters, I think are attracted to the power source. And so they want that, or they want to get to that or something. And I'm thinking more, I like ghosts, but doing something more zombie-esque gives them something more physical to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it's just an intangible being, I don't know how we want to...
I don't know. Yeah, that's true. They just possess people. So it's a little event horizon. You get possessed, and then that's basically they go around killing people, which could work. You got to think, what axe do they have to grind? Like, I guess you said the power source thing. That's pretty grindy.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, this thing, I don't know, but they're like going with it. So why would they be mad?
Maybe there are, okay, hear me out here. I'm going to throw some crazy stuff at the wall.
Throw it.
They lose communication. No one replies to the colony and they say their power's out, whatever. I think they've died. We need to go gather them up. And all the people are dead. Or, well, hold on, put a pin in that one. They go, because they need to get the power source, and they want to check on the stuff. They think the hull breached. Nothing's wrong with the colony. It's the seal's tight. The airlocks work. The computers work. Everything's fine. The people either just dead there, or they're missing. And the power source that they kind of dug up on the planet to power the thing, that thing is where the possession comes from. It comes from the power source. So it either absorbed the people into it, or it possessed them or killed them. But basically, they don't know what's good. They're like, this is really weird. We got to get off of this planet. And they gather maybe some of the bodies, and they gather the thing because they're instructed to grab it. And then that's what's bringing people, reanimating the crew to attack them or something.
That's kind of cool. There is the old 80s horror movie called Reanimator. Where it's based on an H.P. Lovecraft story where the guy injects dead bodies and they come back, but they're all insane. So it's just kind of like you don't mess with, and that's the horror aspect, is like you transgressed a boundary. And you know, you have gone into the forbidden, which is bringing people back to life. And so when they come back, they're just straight up crazy, like ravaging savage, just animalistic almost. That's kind of cool.
I like that too. I think you could have a degree of I Am Legend in there where they're just bestial. However, they have some agenda. I think the agenda is to get the rock, get the stone back into the planet.
Yeah.
Like they don't like it being out of the planet. And it's like the further the ship gets away from the planet, the more frenzied the people being possessed get.
Yeah, I think that's good.
And then
at that point, it would just be straight up put it in an airlock, shoot it back to the planet, right?
I guess ideally that would be the solution. Yeah, super short movie. It's 20 minutes long.
Yeah, they're like, whoa, dump this. Okay. And then just opens up the back and they just let it fall out. We couldn't get them back.
Just all of the monsters are just like shooting into space. They're like, that was a close one. Glad we got this giant emergency hatch that ejected the whole back of the ship.
Just the big diaper of the ship. Just
it's time to dump the diaper.
Yeah. I think it's something that definitely has to happen, you know, after they're like well into their trip. This is where maybe bringing other colonies into it could be helpful, where they've done it on several little planets and moons. And so they have a huge ship that sends down like little ships to pick them up. And yeah, they're just like inhospitable planets, kind of interstellary, you know, where
they're a supply ship. So this one, they're trying to pick up bodies and gather resources. Other colonies have worked. So they're just bringing them additional parts that might need.
Yeah, that's a good.
Because it's very blue. They're like, we've been to 10 planets. They've all died. It's like, maybe we should stop sending people to these planets. I think it makes sense if some of them are successful and this one just was not. There was some sort of failure that resulted from this one.
Yeah.
Agreed. So they're flying around. We've got our crew. I feel like I'm not super attached to them. Like, do we want to define them a little bit?
They definitely need some definition for sure. So, you know,
Drew, let's maybe call one Drew. I don't think we've used Drew as a name.
Drew's good. Drew Carey, great comedian.
Drew, it's Drew Carey played by Drew Carey.
Yeah, his name's Drew.
Drew, is he one of the blue collar guys?
Yeah.
Drew is a blue collar.
Let's go Cameron for the pilot.
Cameron. And he's the other, I guess, blue collar Cameron, the pilot.
It could be. It could be.
And then we have the rich dude.
Yeah, maybe Cameron is the rich guy.
Cameron, the rich man.
Yeah, that's his last name.
I'm Cameron Richmond.
Yeah, my name's Cameron Cameron.
Cameron Cameron.
But yeah, that's like Mr. Cameron. Drew, you know.
Drew, and then Bruce is a classic.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
Bruce so Drew is the other guy.
Bruce, those guys are our dudes. And then Mr. Cameron is our rich guy bankrolling it.
Yeah. Although if this is like, if they're visiting more colonies, maybe he's not bankrolling it as much as he's just the leader. He's like the lieutenant of the ship or whatever.
Would the rich guy actually go? This is the question. Or is he the assistant to the rich guy?
I think he's the assistant. But do you get what I'm saying? If they're going, it's one thing to go to one planet, but if they're going to multiple, this almost feels like this is more of a government S sanctioned thing.
Yeah.
Which there still could be a main bankroller of this happening. But I don't think the rich guy would just be there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is either his assistant or this is just he works for the, I think it makes sense. Like he's more of a logistics guy. He's the project manager of the spacecraft stuff.
Yeah.
The pilot pilots the ship. This guy is, hey, we have to do these things.
Yeah. And the other guy's the engineer.
So, yep.
And maybe we have a robot.
Yeah.
You know, kind of makes sense.
I like a robot, you know?
I like a good robot, you know? I like a good robot. So they go off. Or they're already off. We pick up in media res and, yeah, maybe we get just a little bit of, you know, maybe Mr. Cameron has space sickness or something where it's like being seasick. He's kind of showing that he's not really one of the guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And maybe Bruce is telling him like, you got to have blood for space travel. You know, if it doesn't run in your blood, then you're not cut out for it. Which I like coming,
like that.
It comes back into play a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of the children of those who were born in the colony, like that's, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, the children who started the colony are of those who started it. That's kind of an interesting psychological place. Like if I was born on the edge of the universe, basically, and that's who they're going to pick up. Cause this is like maybe one of the oldest colonies. But it had some sort of technical failure. They were perfectly fine. They passed their psych tests or whatever. And then you come to find out that it was just completely a ruse. So when they get down there, ooh, what's going to happen? Or maybe they've already gotten the people. I don't know. Anyway, just stream of consciousness, this thing right now, recapping a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense. I like that. I like the idea of Drew and Bruce both have colony blood, which makes them more equipped for space travel. Mm-hmm. We were born on the edge of the universe, molded by it.
Yeah, yes, thank you, Bane.
I think that's that makes sense because more of the well-to-do guys. Because that if colonies are a few generations old, only the brave or the
crazy.
It's kind of like people coming to America. It's like I've got nowhere else to go. Like, I'm going to try to make a better life for me. So they, while maybe a more well-to-do people, stayed on the home planet because they could. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's this like natural, like, I don't know. The people from the edge have this kind of local pride to the fact that they grew up in a colony. And they were born in a colony and they became their colonial workers. They go to the colonies. So we see them, they drop off a supply. Maybe they're leaving or wrapping up a supply drop at a working, functioning colony. Mm-hmm. They make small talk with
maybe they pick up another person and they're like, hey, I'm a researcher and I'm going back now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be interesting if there was no one replying. I'm kind of steering. I feel like I'm not in love with the position of the blue thing, so I'm trying to think of some other options. I think it's really spooky if they hail the colony on this blue planet and no one's responding. And they're like, hey, no one's responding on this. When's the last time we chatted with them? They're like, they reported this morning. They're fine. Mm-hmm. They're reporting. And they do some manual override from the ship to land. And they're like, there's no one, like something, like something happened there clearly. And something happened there a long time ago. And they're saying, what do you mean they reported? They said, we got video transmission. They reported this morning. Mm-hmm. They're saying, this looks like this has been destroyed for months. Mm-hmm. And then there's this kind of spooky element of what is happening there. Are they being possessed? Is something pretending to be them and send fake things? Because I know that we're wanting to get them into space. I feel, and maybe they do. Maybe they are like, this is not a good place to stay. They find some people who are unconscious and they grab a handful. There's like, we found 10 people or even 5, and they load them onto the ship and we'll have to get them medical attention. We're not, maybe they have the, they have rudimentary medical stuff, but they're a supply ship. Maybe
the doctor, is a robot.
Okay. The robot doc. We could just call him Doc.
Yeah, I think it's fine. It's doc either the robot. Like a remotely piloted robot. So it's like an actual doctor back on Earth. Like signs in. That's kind of interesting. So it's like only they work on shifts or whatever. That's just an interesting world building thing where the robot itself can't do it, you know, but these doctors just sign in and they're just like kind of ambivalent a little bit. They work all around the world. They're like the teledoc, like the logical conclusion of the teledoc would be that you have like a hands and feet thing and it's like, oh yeah, I'm seeing here now. And it's got like a screen, you know, and it's just a different doctor every time.
Yeah, we could do that. We are breaking some the space rules of light speed because I feel like the lag that you would experience in like doing doctor stuff would be severe. they're like, and now I'm going to make this decision. And they get a message like he died 20 minutes ago. It's like, oh, my bad. which we could suspend that if we wanted to say it's future enough. But I also like having
if it's future robots enough,
to have some personal
personality. If it's future enough, though, it erases some of the causes of our problems. So we can't we can't make it that future.
We can just have Doc the robot. I feel like that's fine. I think he could be I'm trying to think of a cool look for him, which I'm feel like I'm getting hung up on the wrong details.
Yeah, there's a world building episode inbound, folks.
Yeah, this is world building. Yeah, let's stamp it with world building because this one's definitely might need, we're establishing a lot here.
Yeah, that's true. I do think we could probably get a little bit more plot out of it than our typical world building episodes, which can. For those who don't really know, those are episodes where it's just, the idea takes so much, like the good kernel of it takes so much rationalization and work.
The plot's a little weaker in these and world-building episodes because you have to spend so much time making sense of what's happening in the background. But we'll see. I think we can get some plot out of it. I think they show up. I think they picked up one guy, like the fourth guy, you said. And maybe he has some medical background, too.
Okay.
We could call him.
He could be a doctor, literally.
Yeah, he's a literal doctor.
Like medical robot to help him. Like so that way, you know, he has like an assistant, but it's just a robot. That could be like a floaty thing. It doesn't have to be a big deal.
Yep. What about Clarence for the Dr. Hitch is a ride from planet to planet?
Sounds good to me.
He's the doctor, and then he has his robot, which I'm not going to call the robot Doc if he's an actual doctor. We'll call. How about Nix, N-I-X?
Sure, which is nursing something, 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 something.
It's a line. He's like, it stands for nursing something, you know, something.
Yeah, he's like smoking. I hate you. He's like blowing smoke into the robot.
I like that he's kind of a rough and tumble doctor a little bit.
He's a frontier doctor,
more or less.
Yeah, he's a frontier doctor. He's just catching a ride. He didn't want to be with them.
He's like, I'm actually supposed to go to that colony in 5 days, but I finished my work up here. So if you don't mind me hitching a ride, I'd love to get there early. I think that's cool.
If they rotate doctors, that's kind of an interesting, that probably would solve some of the mystery. The mystery couldn't go back too far.
Oh yeah, that's true. So let's get them to the planet, because that's where things are happening. Do you like the idea of they're telling to hail them and there's something has gone awry and they don't know what?
Yeah, I like the idea that the messages previously had indicated that everything was okay. So something or someone was tricking them. And then they get there and there's like not a sign of any issue. The people are just dead. And so they're like, well, we'll take them home. And I don't know, you could do a little bit of a space autopsy kind of thing. That's kind of cool, where the doctor and the Nyx floaty thing, kind of like from Flubber. That's what I was imagining.
Like, I was thinking from Flubber. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like floating around talking to him and they're doing autopsies or whatever. And I think that's cool. That's kind of scary.
I think that's cool. So I also realize we have a lot of dudes. We could replace one with a female. Clarence could be a girl. And I was going to say that they could pull up females from the planet. They bring some of them back to study what's going on. Because if the goal is not to get every one of them back, maybe they do get every one of them back. But also it could just be load a couple of these guys. We need to do some studies and see what happened to them.
So I do think turning Clarence into Clarice is probably a good call. And then we can have other females. Maybe it just depends on how big the movie gets. I think right now it's 5 people and that's fine. And she's the one who does the autopsies on all of these bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, does she find out that there's something fishy on the inside of them, or is it completely normal?
It would be interesting if she did an autopsy on, they gather maybe 8 of these people or 10, between 5 and 10, and she does an autopsy on one. And they also grab some sort of, maybe there's not a power source. Maybe we don't worry about that power source factor, because I think it does cause some problems in the sense that if they realize that's what's causing the problem, they just eject it. Like you said, just throw it out of the ship.
Yeah.
But she is studying them and they don't exhibit any signs of physical trauma or anything like that. It's like their brains just switched off kind of. There's nothing actually wrong with them. They actually look super healthy.
That's good. That's good and scary too. Cause it's like they died 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I think I'm dipping into that interstellar water planet kind of aspect that's creepy when you realize, it's seeming like 5 minutes ago they died. Because you're like, what does that mean? Did something show up 5 minutes before we got here?
That made me think of a good twist, which is that it's basically interstellar, scary interstellar. You know, with a little bit easier, maybe the type of technology that they had at the end of Interstellar, like you could tell it was developing. They had that ring planet or whatever. But that there's some sort of time dilution thing. But that's actually the monster.
The monster dilutes time?
Yeah. And so, you know, it like absorbs a whole planet and makes crazy stuff happen. And maybe they get down to that planet and it's like, there were literally millions of people who lived here, but they've all died. Like there's some sort of our iterations or whatever. Like you just see that, 500 years went by. And
so it speeds up time on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that is scary. That's really scary, actually.
Because then they're like, we need to get back to our ship. But, you know, our ship is like floating out there and we don't know how long it's been. And so they get back to their ship. And it's the same kind of thing as Interstellar. Like you have the, you know, we've been waiting for you for, the ship wouldn't even be there if it was too long, but.
Well, so hold on. Let's make sure we got this time dilation right. Because if how it works on Interstellar is gravity makes time move slower on the planet. And then, which means everything else, including the ship, moves fast. But yeah. Are you saying do that? Or are you saying that time moves fast on the planet, which would be like more of a supernatural thing?
That's true.
And then moves slow everywhere else.
I don't know. I could go either way for sure. I was thinking that it would go, you'd have to set up the rules, obviously, but that it could do either.
Yeah, because if we do fast on the planet for some reason, then that means everything outside the planet moves really slow. Because that's the only way with it, like 500 years would have gone by on the planet. And then that's like scary because they're like, we need to hail the ship. And they're like, we're trying, but the ship, it's going to take the ship like 10 years to respond at this rate to us, the way we see things. Because then there's just no outside help at all because they can like send distress things, but it just like slows down the second it leaves the planet.
That's really scary.
That's really scary. This is super cool too. And this is why this might need to be a world building episode. Cause we might, it took us a long time to get here and we might need to pick back up tell this story more in depth.
We'd probably want to adjust our crew and a few other things, like, you know, knowing that that's the case. Also, it's like they weren't dead when they come back, you know, like they were suspended or whatever. I don't know. There's a whole being that is behind all of it. That's the only way that would make sense. There'd be some sort of intelligence, like moving things around.
Which I think is interesting if. Yeah, they're not all dead. Some people are there. They couldn't reach out and say anything because they couldn't get a message out because it would just slow down.
That's true.
So I think it'd be interesting if we pivoted this story. We're nearing the end of our time. So I think if we get this to a solid ground feeling, I know we've done a lot of pivoting, maybe the next episode, we actually explore this world and story a bit more.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Because they land, they're not being hailed. And maybe it is relatively new. Like whatever is causing this time dilation thing, they've talked to the people on this planet maybe within the last month or a few weeks, and they're like, they're not responding anymore for some reason. Can you go check them out and make sure that they're good? They land. And I think having a slightly bigger crew, which we can explore in the next episode, would help because this is a story that takes place on the planet at this point. And there is distress and chaos and destruction because they are living. They've had X amount of supplies and they've lived there for way longer. So they had to start. Some people started resorting to killing each other to survive. Oh, yeah. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
But then they meet some people and they're like, thank goodness you're here. Thanks goodness you're here. We got to get off the planet. Maybe something keeps them from leaving the planet immediately. And then it becomes a boss fight a little bit. I think the way out is they have to find this creature that is causing this problem and go confront it or destroy it. And maybe it's outside the colony. They say like whatever is causing this is outside the colony and we don't have any spacesuits left. But they're a supply ship. Like they have tons of stuff. So whoever's the remnant of this colony, they team up with them. And clearly there's some factions of the colony that's crazy. And they're like a smaller antagonist than the big force that they have to deal with.
More.
I think that's really good antagonist. Really scary.
The smaller one. Because once they come to understand them, they're like, oh, they were right, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think this is, I'm not seeing a story like this where you're playing with Narnia rules a little bit where the second they get back to their like mothership, it's going to be
no time has passed. Yeah.
For anyone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually think there are a few, like to not be a slave to the prompt, like we've said before, I think the better idea has emerged, which is the time to a murder takes place on a time dilation planet, or some sort of like, you know, time sensitive, basically, problem has emerged. Life and death situation, whether it's like, oh, the weather is inclement, or oh, there's natives even that have showed up, or whatever. And this routine, and this is, can maybe be what it is, a remnant of our prompt, is like the routine supply ship that also picks up bodies is there. Like, and that's it. It's like, it's no more plot driven than that. They just like happen to have space, yeah, like coffins, you know, to come pick up the dead. And the one Drew or somebody can remark about like, this is their job. It's just like going around and cleaning up the messes of other people, and how he kind of begrudges that. But then they get down there and they're like, oh boy, oh boy. And you can do a little bit of that class thing where it's like these garbage men are basically going to like the academics that have thought that they could conquer space, and space started to conquer them instead. And it's really the garbage men who are more suited for survival kind of thing.
Yeah, we could explore the idea of maybe that colony was working on some sort of time dilation super sci-fi thing, and it went wrong in the sense that it worked really well to the point that they couldn't control it anymore.
Yeah. It could be like Heart of Darkness, where the garbage guys show up and they found this colony that is much like, you know, Apocalypse Now, a platoon of people who have just gone crazy, and they realize it's because these are like 10th generation dudes. Like they're not even, that's kind of interesting where it's like, this is our planet. This has always been our planet. My father's 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 father, like, colonized this planet. They're like, what do you mean colonized? Like, you guys just got here. And the whole thing is that there is some device, or they figured out a way to do this. And there's one guy that's like on the other side of the planet that has the device, and it basically keeps him immortal. And that's basically, you deal with that. And these garbage men, you know, take it upon themselves, or maybe the time dilation bad guy, Time Lord, shows up and he's like, I want off the planet. Like, I'm done being on this planet. I don't know. Or maybe it's just the planet itself, which is actually kind of scary. In like a cosmic sense, in like an H.P. Lovecraft way, like the planet itself is the killer, is the, like, humans were not meant to be on this planet.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And I like this story a lot. And folks, thanks for sitting with us, because this is sometimes, I think this is one of the ones that usually we get a little earlier, but I like this one because I really like this idea. And I definitely want to explore this more in depth, potentially next episode, because it took a while to get here. But I like the idea of this planet that you get trapped on. I've read some books like that where it's about how long time goes by. This idea that it's generations, everything would be legend to them.
Yes.
They're like, oh, we have these records of Earth, and it's this thing, because they've been there forever. They've always been there.
I actually really like this idea too. It's a little like Planet of the Apes. Where, but it's kind of in reverse, where, of course, it's not Earth, but the people there have colonized the planet enough to where it's basically like a primitive planet. They lost the technology over time, like it stopped working and stuff. And so this other group of astronauts drop down and they're like, hey, we're here for your supplies. And they're like, what do you mean? And so you could have like you could have different entries into this story where it's like just this planet is really interesting. Like the planet is the reoccurring character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like nobody knows about the time dilation issue. And so they just keep sending people, but it happens over thousands of years on this planet.
Okay. I do like the idea of starting through just the perspective of this blue planet. Cause you're just like, oh, this is just some sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
And they're running through this colony thing. They have this giant bubble they live in, and you just think, oh, this is just how life is for them. It's a little primitive. And then people come and they say, hey, we're here for your supplies. And they're like, what are you talking about? They're like, well, we were here. I don't know. If it's a device and not the planet, then you could say they were here. We were here 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean? You were never here. I think there's a lot of cool stuff to explore there.
Is, yeah, because there's a lot. And actually, this is something that we've never had on Storyfellas. I think it's actually a TV show.
Oh, it does sound like a TV show.
Yeah, I think it's actually a TV show. That's why the plot seems to keep getting like further and further away, you know, a little like jumping on the planet where it's like, okay, all the stretches of time, but that it would be like simple, you know, it has Dinotopia feel to it a little bit.
Oh, Dinotopia. I think Dinotopia. I remember that.
But you're just always dealing with the kind of cowboys and astronauts thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just like when you jump in and it says a lot about civilization, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually really cool. Cause then there's this whole idea that civilizations have like an organic thing themselves, that they have a shelf life. And so they only last so long and they decay. And so, okay, when do they show up? Do they show up at the beginning of the civilization? Maybe they do. The first season is this blah, blah, blah. The second season is something else. That's really cool. There's probably a sci-fi book that's like this, I would think.
I read a sci-fi book that has similarities just in the sense that it spans large amounts of time, but not this where you're following. Well, actually, I'll talk to you about it a little off mic because I don't want to spoil a book for people who might want to read it. But it has some similarities, but this does feel very different. It feels like we've combined Interstellar with other ideas in a sense. I have a potential title as well.
I've got a couple that popped in my head, but now that I'm thinking like a TV show, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm trying hard to, you know, make it work.
And this is interesting because if we do a two-parter on this, folks, we might land on a title in this episode. And if we do the next episode before this one releases, which we probably will, and we come up with a better title, then it will probably not be the thing we say in this episode.
Yeah,
it will be whatever you're reading on your podcast app is the title we've eventually ended up with. But the main one I have is that I'll pitch is something along the lines of The Planet of Waiting or something with waiting or wait in it, because that's all they can do. They're just waiting for the rest of the world. They just live and they wait and until something happens and someone
gets to them. My only issue with that, and I like that. I like that idea. It feels more like a book title than it does like a TV show or a movie, because that's very passive characters at that point. It doesn't have like an urgency to it kind of thing, but I get it. I get the idea and I think it works. I'm pushing it into maybe a little bit more schlocky space. I don't know. But Savage Space, was one that popped in my mind, or Primitive Space, was another one, or something with civilization, like, what is it? I don't know. Like Civilized Space. I keep putting space at the end of things because apparently that's cool.
Space.
Space. But the idea that it's now really more about civilization, and tracking those things, that's kind of cool.
I like the word civilization a lot. I like having some aspect of time in the title a little bit, like something like the second civilization, not in the sense of number two, but in the sense of within a second, so much happens. Word that's associated with time and then civilization, because that's an interesting concept of there's a civilization that within a handful of seconds, maybe
as its beginning,
years can go by.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or trapped in time or something like that. Or it's very scary once they realize in the story what's happening to their planet, because it means everything else, everywhere else, like they're happening too quick. It's that Dr. Manhattan quote where it's like, I've witnessed things so small and so quick that they could have barely been said to happen at all.
That is really cool. I do think that we have to ground ourselves. It's the Planet of the Apes type thing. You have to ground yourself with Charlton Heston's character. Because the apes perspective, they're like, dude, this is life. Like, you know, and it's been so long that we've forgotten that there was there was man, but man isn't anything like you're talking. Like, you are weird. And so like the one gun that Bruce has that they are allowed to bring on the spaceship he has with him. It's like, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. Or maybe one space gun, literally like awesome powered gun. That's kind of cool. I think we're maybe not going to land on a title necessarily, because we don't know more about the specifics of what's happening. We know like really broad scope type stuff. But the rise and fall of civilizations is like, it's, those are the things that are in my mind. Like, yeah. Or even, like the rising planet or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think we can put a pin in it because this is a two-parter. So audience, you know more than us because you're looking at your podcast app and you see the title probably part one. Mm-hmm. So if you're like, I don't know how they got to this title, just wait, check out part two. It's going to come around the line, around the bend. And we usually still close this off with an along the line segment where we say a line that would exist in this movie. And I know that we've not established a ton of the plot yet, Zach, but do you have any potential lines that could exist in this world that we have built?
So I think just messing with the time stuff, because I understand wanting that to be in the title. Time uncivilized could work. It kind of marries both of the directions that you and I are going from. Feels broad enough to have multiple characters, multiple timelines, if you really wanted to. Multiple people falling into the same trap kind of thing. Trying to find something general enough, but thematically linked enough, you know. And I can't think of a moment in terms of our along the lines outside of like stuff that's in a trailer that you'd hear on like Fox or ABC for some reason. But you have like a scientist come down in a big suit and they pop off their helmet and they realize these like savage people run out and they somehow start communicating. Like what the savage person is like, what tribe are you from? And the astronaut kind of turns and he says, Earth. Title smash.
Thank you all for listening to Storyfellas, a part of the Pemmican Studios podcast network. Check out our show notes for bonus material, links, and more. To find out more about our current projects, send us messages, and suggest ideas for the show, go to storyfellaspodcast.com. If you liked what you heard, share the show with a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to grow this community. Until next time, go make and break those stories.